Morning, everyone. Russell came up with the idea of us doing things more like some of the churches in other cultures, where the men sit on one side and the women sit on the other. I think it would be Rodney White's great auntie who went from this church as a missionary with the China Inland Mission, now OMF, to the Lisu area in the southwest of China. It's an area that the Lisu live on both sides of the border with Myanmar or Burma. And if you go to their churches, they're big, and they probably seat more people than we have here today. And they don't have many musical instruments. The leader gives the note and they sing in perfect four-part harmony. And be very clear, it's men on one side and women on the other. So with that little bit of background, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the great truths that we have been singing about, singing to you. We worship you, honor you, and ask that our lives, our very being, may be centered in you and honoring to you. And we ask that the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. So this is the third week of our Missions Month of Prayer and Self-Denial for the New Zealand Baptist Mission Society. And our theme today is a new generation. I wonder if you remember what you saw in the video a few minutes ago at the beginning of the service. There was a report, as it were, that people are encouraged over in their ministry in other countries by a new generation of believers. And I get the sense that there's a real excitement in the Mission Society about people who are responding to the gospel today. Not in the video, but it's important to note that the Mission Society is also calling for a new generation of people going over to serve in that work and to expand that work. And that is a very urgent call. The video also pointed out that this coming of new believers, a new generation of believers that they're seeing, is built on the foundation of people who have prayed and supported over many, many, many years. And it's a continuing need. And particularly for people of my generation, prayer is the way in which we can have a real impact on the ministry of others who are serving you overseas, serving God overseas. We need to raise up a new generation of people who are wholeheartedly committed to serving God in their life and ministry. A new generation that will obey God, whatever the cost. All this is relevant, of course, as we prepare to send Simon and Judy overseas to Cambodia in the coming month. Now, also, for those of you who are in house groups, home groups, whatever the term you like to use, either last week or in this new week, you may well be reading Psalm 78. So I'd like to look. There we are. I missed something. And I'd like to note it. No, we can go back for one moment, thanks. That what we are talking about a new generation, is surely in line with our own local church mission statement. So let's underline it. Raising world-changing Christians serving Northland churches. So then moving on to Psalm 78, there are these verses in verse 5 to 7. He instructed our ancestors to teach his laws to their children so that the next generation might learn them and in turn should tell their children. In this way, they will also put their trust in God and not forget what he has done, but always obey his commandments. Now, this is a very strong emphasis in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's a very relevant thing if we talk about a new generation raising world changers. Parents and grandparents, if that's possible, we are to teach our children the great truths of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Remember, the family that prays together stays together. That's not just a cliche, that's the truth. We live very busy lives. It's not always easy to have time to read and pray together. But we need to find at least a regular spot somewhere where we as a family will pray together and read God's word. Are you helping your children develop a habit of reading the Bible and praying for themselves individually? Are you helping your children to stand for God in an increasingly difficult society? Now, with the women away at camp, I thought perhaps we might have more men here today, but I would like to say to men, don't leave it to the mother of the family, your wife, to do the leading of spiritual life in your family. That so often seems to be the case. But we as husband and wife together need to teach and lead our children. So moving on from that, the remainder of this message, I have five headings. Cracked pots, smashed pots, crack pots, which are different from cracked pots, and overflowing pots, all right? So starting in on cracked pots, if we could have that photo. In my daily quiet time recently, I read this illustration, and perhaps because of its Asian background, it really struck a chord with me. In Asia, you carry loads, all kinds of loads. Women carrying a fire in their basket on one end of the pole or on both ends of the pole, walking down the street offering to cook food for you. And like many people, this person was daily going to get water and carrying it home on their shoulder pole, a pot at each side or each end of the shoulder pole, and you walk along and you learn to sort of bounce with the flexing of the bamboo shoulder pole. It's quite an art. But one of the two pots being carried every day was cracked. And so as he walked along with the pots on his shoulder, there was a drip, 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 drip. And the crackpot was very embarrassed about this. So the day came when the cracked pot said to the bearer, "I'm very, very sorry I'm such a poor pot. I am a cracked pot. What use am I to you? I'm no good." But the bearer, of course, knew that there was a leak. When he got back to the house, there was less water than perhaps there should have been. So he said to the cracked pot, "Look, if you look down the path as we walk where I'm carrying you, there's a whole row of flowers, and I can pick those flowers and put them in my house, and they give grace, colour, variety, beauty." The bearer was able to make use of the weakness, as it were, of the pot. And that's a picture of God with us. We are all cracked pots. We are all sinful. Some of us, you might say, leak more than others. But all of us have strengths and weaknesses. But God is gracious and good and is able to take us and use us, fit us, despite our cracks, into his plan and work. So if you came here today feeling rather useless, God says, "I can use you, and I want to use you." And if you hear the kind of words in your head, "I'm useless," that feeling depressed, I can't do anything, God says, "I want to use you. Commit yourself to me." Don't listen to the devil's words, and they are the devil's words, that you are useless. But don't take this illustration too far. We aren't just to say, "Oh, I'm cracked and I keep losing my water." We are to seek to grow in God day by day. You might say to leak less as the days go by. We are to grow in the Lord and more have the mind of Jesus. So all of us can be world changers despite being cracked pots if we will only submit to God. So moving on to smashed pots. In the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, we are told about the period in Israel when they got into a cycle of people following the Lord and then drifting away and turning to other gods, and then God allowing them to be overrun by their enemies, until finally, in desperation, they turned back to God and asked for his forgiveness and followed him again, and he raised up a new generation doing God's work. So this cycle went on again and again, and in Judges chapter 6, 7 and 8 we read about the story of Gideon, which is about smashed pots. I'm sorry I can't go over the story in detail, but summarising quickly, Gideon, this was a period of time when they had gone right away from God. God allowed the Midianites, people from the east, to come across the Jordan into the land of Israel. And they completely oppressed the Israelites, who were very, very poor and weak because all their food and goods of any value were taken away and so on. So this guy Gideon is there down in a hole in the earth, a wine press. And by being in the wine press, he was probably out of sight of people just walking by, because they lived in caves and had to hide things of value. And he was threshing his wheat. And the angel of God came and said to him, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And I can picture Gideon sort of, one, dazzled by the angel, but two, blinking his eyes and think, what are you talking about? I'm no hero. I'm here down in the earth, hiding while I thresh my wheat. And so he says, I can't do anything. And the angel says, go in the strength you have and rescue the Israelites from the Midianites. And he says, well, look, I'm a nobody. My family aren't known. I can't do anything like this. But then the angel, God through the angel, says, I will be with you. We know those words very well, but they are absolutely key to being people, a generation that God can use. Effectively, he was saying, you're right, Gideon, you can't solve this problem, but I will go with you and I will work through you. And so many of you, hopefully most of you, know the story where the day came when the Midianites came in as a huge mob, described as like a plague of locusts, thousands upon thousands of them encamped in this valley. And the Spirit of God came on Gideon. It was the Old Testament. The Spirit did not work in the same way as God works today, when we can all of us have God's Spirit within us. But Gideon stood up, was filled with the Spirit. He called the fighting men of Israel, and 32,000 of them came. Still not that many for the number of Midianites. But God said, too many people. When you get the victory, you'll only think, we're good, aren't we? We're clever, aren't we? So he said, you've got to reduce the numbers. I'll leave you to read about it in chapter 7. But the end result was they were whittled down from 32,000 to 300. 300 to fight thousands and thousands of Midianites. And then Gideon took these 300. They each had an earthenware pot. Somehow they could have a burning torch within the pot, hidden, and a ram's horn. And at midnight, they went down to the Midianite camp. They surrounded them, scattered around the hills, presumably. And when Gideon himself blew his horn and smashed the pot, each of the other 300 did so. And the Midianites woke up in a flap and a panic, started fighting one another. Some ran away and they were totally defeated. The pots allowed the light to be seen and God acted. So it's an illustration of the fact that, sure, we can't do anything any more than the cracked pot could do anything, but God himself says, I am with you and I desire to work through you, not your plans, not your smart ideas, but I will work through you in power. 300 against many, many thousands. A new generation that stood up for God in those days. And when we fully trust God, God will act in power through us as a new generation as well. So we are all, again, I'm reminded, Jesus said what I'm trying to say in a different way. If anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We probably know that verse very, very well, but we rush over it quickly. It is a verse with very deep and hard meaning. If you took up your cross, you were carrying it to your own crucifixion, death. Meaning, of course, death spiritually to our own selfishness, our sinfulness, submitting totally to God and turning away from our ideas and plans. So that leads us into crackpots. Why do I speak of crackpots? Most people around us in society think we are crackpots. Isn't that really true? If we are followers of Jesus, really submitted to him, we have the mind of Christ, our attitudes, our whole approach to life should be totally different from everyone else. And we know that, of course. But the question comes, are we different from people around us? And if we are, then so often we are seen as strange, weird crackpots. Of course, we shouldn't deliberately be objectionable or awkward. We want to befriend and win people. But if we stand strong for God, there will be times, and probably increasing times, when we are seen as crackpots. Why do we believe in God in this day and age? Who would believe or follow a book that's 2,000 years old or even older? We are crackpots, and there are people being persecuted around the world today, as we thought of last Sunday. And of course, Jesus himself was crucified because to society in general, these people and Jesus also were crackpots. I think it's likely that in the days ahead, it's going to get harder and harder in New Zealand to be a believer, and there's going to be more and more opposition. God calls us to be world changers, but being a world changer can be very costly, let's face it. And my final point, overflowing pots. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And we celebrate at Pentecost the coming of the Holy Spirit in the modern Christian era. Summarizing where we've been and coming to this, I'd like to say the normal Christian life is like a cracked pot becoming a smashed pot, and therefore being seen as a crackpot. But this is only possible if we are overflowing pots, the Holy Spirit pouring through us, as it were, into other people. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said to his disciples, "It's far better if I go away from you so that the Holy Spirit can come and live in you, each individually, God in us." And far better than Jesus, one person in his human being form that we would all be trying to relate to. We can all know and walk intimately with God. And so he said, you're to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes And of course, he was ascended into heaven, and his words had been, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." God doesn't ask us, what can we do for him? He says, submit yourselves to me, open yourselves to me, and I will work through you, my Spirit living in you. As Pastor Russell pointed out last week, this is the normal Christian life. It's not a special life for specially keen Christians. This is the normal Christian life. So in summary, we are all crackpots, sinful. But are we smashed pots, or do we still really just quietly go on with our own plans and ideas and fulfilling our own desires? It's only possible to be the people God wants us to be if the Holy Spirit is truly leading us and our lives are submitted to him. God calls us to go out into our society here, to serve him here as to our own generation. And Rob Coates will speak more about that next week. But at the same time, just as God has called Simon and Judy to Cambodia, and we're about to send them overseas in this coming month, he will also call others to go. The question is not where to go, whether you should be here or there, overseas or in New Zealand. The question is, are we submitted to God? Are we willing to obey and be placed and live wherever God says for us to go? Will you go out in the world today to serve wherever God places you? And we will close this time by singing the song, "Here Am I." Thank you.